We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program from the Boston Globe, Bob Ryan. Hello there, Bob.
Hello, and I totally agree about James Garner, except the secret weapon of that show was Stuart Margolin, who played the greatest all-time sleazeball, Angel Martin, one of my all-time favorite supporting characters in television history.
We were saying that the other day in that conversation, that of all the second bananas in those detective shows, he was the absolute best.
He was priceless. He was wonderful. He was a terrific character actor in other shows, too. But that was his pièce de résistance, was playing Angel.
And we were also talking about some of those great detective shows that were set right there in Boston.
Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah, well, and the lawyer shows, too. But, yep, no, it was good. Well, Boston is, you know, we've been very blessed with all kinds of stuff like that. So, in addition to athletics, you're absolutely right.
Well, tonight, baseball is right on the agenda. Front page, Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. And is this a new thing, Bob, that we see guys like Alex Cora, obviously a good in-season manager, but managing in a very different way in the postseason?
Well, he's buying in a little bit to this pitching craze that, maybe, I guess it's not a craze, it's the way that baseball is going to be, with the use of pitchers. The downgrading of starters and the idea that it's a bullpen world and all that. But he's an excellent manager. This is two managers now that we've had who were excellent, excellent postseason managers. I thought Terry Francona absolutely won at least one of his World Series by outmanaging his in 07, completely outmanaging his peer, Clint Hurdle, in that case. But there's nothing not to like about Alex Cora as a manager, frankly. I mean, nobody's perfect, but he touches all the requisite bases to be a manager in 2021.
And, of course, to be successful in the postseason, it helps if you have a guy hitting like he's come in from another planet. And Kike, it's shades of David Ortiz. It's Yaz in 67. It's just unbelievable.
Well, and also Ortiz, of course, that may never be exceeded, what he did in 13. But the thing it reminds me a lot of is Carlos Beltran in 04, if you look it up. And the difference is, though, in what happened at the afterlife, Carlos Beltran parlayed that extraordinary out-of-body experience postseason that he had into a lucrative contract. He was overpaid by the Mets on the basis of that contract. I remember saying at the time, nobody's this good. Got to step back and take a deep breath. And same with Kike. It's going to end. He may pull. He may have a golden sombrero tonight. He's not this good. Nobody's this good. It's been phenomenal. I mean, and by the way, both, sound like Belichick, both sides of the ball, his defense in general has been fantastic as well. And he looks like the best ball player on earth right now, but he's not. Not really, but right now he's a facsimile of that.
And people were critical at times of Chaim Bloom, both preseason, what he did or didn't do at the trading deadline. But if you look at guys like Hernandez, Hunter Renfroe, who's had a career year, and then Kyle Schwarber, who has emerged as maybe the best midseason pickup anybody had this side of Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I mean, my hand was up. I was guilty as anybody else. I didn't like what happened on July 31st. Didn't think he did enough. I certainly... and turns out that Schwarber has been so valuable, not just as a player, but as a person. He has spread joy and enthusiasm around that locker room, and I think they're all picking up on it. I think you can really trace it to him, much the same way Millar was a central personal figure in those other Red Sox championship teams. He's doing it his way. He hasn't sacrificed the major prospects. We've got Tristan Casas coming. We've got York coming. We've got maybe some pitchers coming. In addition, he hasn't he's looking at the future as well as the present in a way that Dave Dombrowski didn't do. It's not his MO. His MO was win now and do anything it takes to win now. But that's not Chaim Bloom's. His is an all-encompassing thought process.
We're talking with Bob Ryan here on Downtown. There are people who complain about the length of games. And yes, yep, some of these games get pretty long. But I don't know, even that five-hour game that they had against Tampa Bay, I was on the edge of my seat on every pitch. Do you think games are too long?
Yes. You can't get around it. I mean, that game was there are always exceptions. I mean, we had 2 5-hour-plus games. Of course, as we all know, in 04, games 4 and 5 went over 11 hours, and we loved every – we didn't love every second of it. We loved we loved the happy endings of both of them. But, yeah, they are too long. You shouldn't have a 4-hour, 9-inning game. Now, we had a little bit of a you know, excuse on the last time out because of the pitching change and the outrageous Odorizzi, flouting of you know, baseball decency by all the time he took to warm up. You don't do that, but he did it and he got away with it. But we have back-to-back 4-hour 9-inning games, 408, 407. It's not good in the long run. But in a postseason, you know, because of the stakes, you're emotionally involved and you don't mind as much. But when these things happen on July 31st or August 17th, it's a nightmare.
A lot of baseball left to go, but the possibility of teams with Boston ties, if the Braves could get in, this could be a very interesting World Series.
I've thought about it, and you know, this could be finally get the World Series we should have had in 1948.
Right, if it hadn't been for Denny Galehouse.
Absolutely, I've been thinking about that. You know, this would be, and I know I'd be all over that we finally get the World Series we should have had in 48. Another reason, a big reason to root for the Braves is the Red Sox would then have the home field.
That's so, right.
I forgot about that until it was pointed out to me that, you know, that's the way it's done, and they would have the better record in that, and it reverts to a better record if it's the World Series. So that's a big reason to root for the Braves.
We're talking with Bob Ryan. Let's shift gears. The Celtics get their season underway on Wednesday night against the Knicks. What do you think is the biggest challenge for new coach Ime Udoka?
I just to buy, you know, get them to buy what you're selling, and apparently they're, you know, they're getting the message. Stop complaining about the refs. He yanked. Grant Williams out of the game immediately. You know, he I don't know what the real transgression. They say he missed a flight, but you know, he didn't mess around with Jaylen Brown. You know, there's a new boss in town, new sheriff in town, that kind of thing. But no, meanwhile on the court, you know, his challenge is like any other coach, just get this team to mesh properly. I mean, they've got there's a lot of talent. They've got a great player in Tatum, a near great player in Brown. I like the moves they made. I think bringing back Al Horford, who apparently is going to be in top shape, is going to have a beneficial effect in every way. But I'm curious to see how it's all going to work out for him. Now, the point is that it's not going to be, don't people stay, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know whether they win or lose Wednesday is almost immaterial because they're not going to be whole. They're not going to be whole in a while. Until they get whole, I'll start trying to judge them a little bit. I'm just happy to see the ball bouncing again. I'm happy to get started, and that's fine. But they're not whole until they get whole, and then we can start talking.
And we didn't know what Brad Stevens would be like as a general manager, director of operations, but boy, he's been pretty proactive so far.
He is, isn't he? Yes, it's going to be. I certainly didn't know either what the style would be. That's going to be interesting. Oh, it's a whole new world now here. You know, we've got used to some. Up with Danny, 15 years, we knew he was predictable in his unpredictability when it came time to making deals. But basically, we knew what Danny was all about, and we don't know what Brad, the GM, is all about yet. We're learning, and of course, we have a whole new coach. And as I pointed out about Ime Udoka, and I mean this the word never, which is a dangerous word to use, but I'm going to use it. In 50 plus years of covering the NBA now, I have never seen a guy enter a situation. With so much praise from the outside world, everybody thinks he's wonderful, and this is externally, not internally, that we're talking about here. So let's see. You know, I hope people don't think, as I keep saying, that he's going to enter the Boston Garden by walking across the Charles River to get there. But he does come with a high praise.
Bob, I know you're a fan of his work. Did you have a chance to see the Anderson Cooper interview, his piece on Tony Bennett?
I did not, but I certainly would love to check that out, because obviously I'm a huge admirer of Tony Bennett and I respect Anderson. So I'm glad. No, I didn't.
It was amazing. And again, we've seen this time and time again with people particularly involved in the music world that he had a hard time carrying on any kind of a conversation. But when it was time to rehearse, he walked in the room. He had a bounce in his step. And as soon as his accompanist started playing, the songs came back. He had no cue sheets for any of the lyrics or anything. He was commenting on the playing, and it was amazing to just see what, well, I guess that muscle memory can do for people, even with dementia.
It is a clinical study, a remarkable clinical study, what he's doing. I know he's not alone, but I know it is a startling phenomenon to think that, and of course with him, the amazing thing has been exclusive light. I think he was diagnosed 3 or 4 years ago. So he was just about to enter his 90s, or had just entered his 90s when he was diagnosed. The fact that his voice is still as intact as it is, that he still can carry the tune to the extent, I mean, that is the most amazing thing to me at all. I think, you know, Sinatra, you know, who died at 83, you know, you hated, I hate hearing the late Sinatras that they still play on the Sinatra Channel. Don't play them. You know, I don't want to hear it. The croaking of Sinatra, you know, still with the ego being out there. Tony Bennett hasn't happened. He still can sing. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It is absolutely amazing. Speaking of Sinatra, any upcoming appearances on Sirius XM?
No, I wish I were. I did the playing favorites back 4 or 5 years ago, and it was absolutely one of the greatest thrills of my entire life. An honor beyond belief for me to be able to do that. Would I love an encore? Sure, damn right, I would. I love it. I'm waiting. But they have. I know. Don't lose the number, folks. I'm still ready.
All right. Send those cards and letters to SiriusXM. Let them know you want Bob Ryan back. What we sure do, and we'll do it again. Bob, thank you as always. We'll catch
you
before too long.
Take care.
All right.
Okay, take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye now. That's Bob Ryan, the Boston Globe, and hopefully SiriusXM too.